Welcome to the Back Nine Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Back Nine Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews, recaps, previews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. Fred, hi, how are you today?
Good evening, Carlos. Hey, we had more first-time PGA Tour winners in China and in Mississippi this week. Longer won the million-dollar Charles Schwab Cup for a record third time, and Phil Mickelson falls out of the top 25 in the world for the first time since 1995. We got a lot of golf to talk about, Carlos. Let's go.
A lot to talk about, and our VIG, very important guest of the week, is going to be Jim Nugent, publisher of Global Golf Post, and you don't want to miss the golf travel tip from and our chip shot by Mike May. So don't go away. Stay right there. And we're going to start right away with the weekend backspin, where Fred and I recap the weekend's action. And we have to start with the PGA Tour and the European Tour. They were co-sanctioning a tournament this week, and a little one, yeah, right, is the where U.S.-based Scotsman Russell Knox, he won his first PGA Tour title at the WGC HSBC Champions event there at Shaoxing Golf Club in Shanghai. The 30-year-old finishing two shots clear of Kevin Kisner and Danny Willett and Russ Fisher another shot back. DJ Dustin Johnson, who had won this event 2 years ago, was looming as a likely threat, but eventually finished four behind Knox. His chance had effectively drowned in the water for a double bogey at the eighth. Jordan Spieth, he finished in a share for seventh position, which would prove good enough for him to regain the world number one position off Jason Day, who did not play this week. And with Danny Willett's magnificent, incredible, out of this world. He was out of his mind, shooting a 10 under. He finished T3rd. He now moves on to next week's BMW Masters with just 74,214 point deficit to make up on Rory McIlroy, who birdied his last hole to finish in a share of 11th place on 14 under. Fred, with McIlroy not returning to action until the season-ending DP World Tour Championship Dubai, the top 25 finish for Willett at Lake Malaren Golf Club would see him take over the top of the Race to Dubai rankings and sets up a very needed and thrilling finish for the European Tour.
Yeah, Carlos, that's one of my main storylines for the WGC HSBC. Of course, number one, Scottish-born Russell Knox broke through for his initial win on the PGA Tour. It was a big one. He originally made it to the PGA Tour in 2011, struggled in 2012, had to requalify via the 2013 Web.com Final Series. He started fast in 2014. He lost the Honda Classic in a playoff with Russell Henley, Rory McIlroy, and Ryan Palmer. This gets him into the Masters for the first time, Carlos. Storyline number two, you mentioned Danny Willett shot that 62 on Sunday. He's really made a big move on Rory and the Race to Dubai, only $74,000 behind. Rory's not going to play this week, as you mentioned, so Willett could overtake him with a good finish in Shanghai at the BMW Masters. Number three, Spieth finishes T7, moves back to number one with Jason Day and Rory McIlroy. Just trailing right pretty close. Rory had a T11 finish at the HSBC. Storyline number four, Patrick Reed finished 7th, Ricky Fowler 17th, Dustin Johnson finished 5th. You mentioned that double bogey at number 8 on Sunday. He hit the flag stick. He had a fantastic shot, hit the stick, bounced back into the water. A double bogey ensued rather than a birdie. I mean, what bad luck. He could have been right there. DJ never recovered. Your boy Sergio was right there with the T11. And storyline number 5, Carlos, only two more events remain in the Race to Dubai.
And it's getting very close. It's going to be a good one. I think the best finish so far in the Race to Dubai history. Hey, continuing on the PGA Tour, Peter Malnati, he closed with a 5-under to capture the Henderson's Farm Championship and won for the first time on the web.com. It's the PGA scored. Yeah, yeah. It's just like
it's kind of like the web.com. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm sorry, mistaken. Sorry. Anyway, if Fenton shed 18 under in a rain-soaked tournament that was forced to be completed play Monday, he was one shot behind going into the final round, but closed with 5 birdies or his final 12 holes to beat Willie McGirt and David Toms by one stroke. Yeah, you heard right, David Toms.
The who? Event of who? The where'd he come
David
from?
Toms. David Toms. I don't know. It was like, who's that? But the event at the Country Club of Jackson was delayed 5 times either by rain, lightning, or darkness. The final day was a long one for several golfers, with some playing as many as 30 holes. It was a crowded leaderboard throughout Monday's marathon round, with about 15 players moving in and out of contention. But finally, Peter Malnati, another Web.com Tour alumni from last year, wins his first PGA Tour tournament.
You know, with the big names, of course, in Shanghai for the WGC HSBC, the Sanderson Farms is an opposite field event for the rest of the tour. As you mentioned, Peter Malnati survived rain delays and a money finish to get his first win on the PGA Tour at Sanderson Farms. You know, how important is this fall series for these young golfers, Carlos? Counting the WGC HSBC, this is the 5th event of the wraparound season, and Malnati is the 5th first-time winner on tour this season. The leaderboard was severely bunched with players needing to finish the 3rd round on Monday morning before the final round got underway on Monday afternoon. Malnati made 3 birdies early in his front 9, or actually on his back 9, and then hung on to the one-shot lead over his final 3 holes. As you mentioned, David Toms and William McGirt both finished minus 17 for runner-up. The win moves Malnati to number 187 in the world rankings, moving right up. But how about 48 years young David Toms finishing runner-up? He was trying to get it done in the end, but soft conditions left him with longish approaches that just couldn't match the young guy's length. Aaron Baddeley, you remember him? Oh, Bads. He's making a comeback. He tied with Patton Kizzire, Robert Castro, Bryce Mulder, and Johnny Vegas for 4th place. Hey, Johnny Vegas, he's making a really good run this fall. He's fallen to number 277 in the world ranking, but this is 2nd top 10 in 3 starts this fall. Evidently, he likes playing on the PGA Tour a lot better than the Web.com Tour, Carlos.
And you mentioned Patton Kizzire, my pick last year for the Web.com Tour.
Yeah, his guy. I had to throw him in there.
His voice. He parlayed a T5 at the Web.com Tour Championship into a T2 at the Triners and a T4 now here at the Sanderson Farm. So he's the next one who's going to win. You'll see. We'll see.
He's going to win. He is going. I like. He's coming. Yep.
He's playing well. Hey, on the Champions Tour you mentioned earlier, Bernhard Langer. Wow, the dominator on that tour. He began the week 3rd in the Charles Schwab Cup race, 66 points behind Montgomery, Colin Montgomery, and 27 behind Jeff Maggard. And with players receiving a point for every $500 earned in the $2.5 million tournament, Langer was 33,000 behind Monty and 13,500 behind Maggard. And after a 7-under opening on Thursday, he left no doubt the Champions Tour season-ending Charles Schwab Cup Championship had to go through him. At the end, he missed winning the tournament in regulation, and Billy Andre beat him in the first hole of the playoff for his 3rd win this year. But this big kahuna went to Langer, the 58-year-old German star who won the Charles Schwab Cup points title for the 2nd straight year and a record 3rd time overall, earning the $1 million annuity, easily beating there Monty, Fred, and Jeff Maggard after entering the week 3rd in the standings. Outstanding for Langer, Fred.
Yeah, Billy Andrade won the tourney, but Bernhard Langer won the million again. They both tied, in regulation at 14-under. 51-year-old Andrade closed with a 6-under 64 on Desert Mountain, Cochise course. Made the 10-foot birdie putt on 18. Langer missed a chance to win on 18 in regulation when his 18-foot eagle putt just slipped out. Langer said he thought he made it. It looked good all the way until it just slipped out at the end. Andre earned $440,000 and 4-time PGA Tour winner. Played with his old buddy Joe Durand, who he had teamed with to win the Bass Pro Shops Legend earlier in the year. And he also won the Boeing Classic in August, so 3 wins for him this year. He got a big break on the par 3 17th when his tee shot went long, struck a rock, and ricocheted right back onto the green to set up a two-putt par. Did you see that? He got pretty lucky there. On a hole before, the ball had actually flown up and gone right between two rocks, had to take an unplayable stroke penalty, all that good stuff. Kind of got it. The golf course kind of gave it back to him on the next hole. Langer becomes the first player to win the Charles Schwab Cup three times. His first came in 2010, and he successfully defended his win from last year. One of the things that every golfer, and I'm not talking just about professionals here, average golfers should aspire to is consistency. Not a low round this week and then a 95 the next time out. Consistency was always very important to me when I was younger, a younger player. I always wanted to just, you know, stay around a certain score, not have any real bad days. And Langer is just the model of consistency. His 2015 season, Carlos, I know you like numbers, so I got some numbers here for you. Two wins, five runner-ups, two thirds, and 13 top tens in 19 starts. 13 times out of his 19 starts, he finished in the top 10. In addition to Langer's three Charles Schwab Cup titles in his eight full seasons on the Champions Tour, he has earned nearly $18 million and won the money title seven times. He's won it seven times in 8 years. In the years he did not win the Charles Schwab Cup, he has two runners-up, a third, and a fourth. The only year out of his eight on the Champions Tour that he finished outside the top five in the Charles Schwab Cup race was 2011, when he missed a large part of the year due to that thumb injury. That, Carlos, is consistency at its finest. Go back and look at the numbers. They are absolutely phenomenal, what he has done on the Champions Tour over the last 8 years. By the way, Carlos, a side note, PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Finchem announced a new stop in 2016 in Los Angeles for the PowerShares QQQ. Probably be called the Cube, I'm guessing. Nickname, probably. Okay, it will be the inaugural tournament in the new Champions Tour playoffs to start next season, Carlos.
Everybody wants playoffs. Talk about playoffs. But I have playoffs, one question
the for playoffs!
You. I have one question for you. You were mentioning that it was very important for you, the consistency. I'm very consistent with my scores. They're always high. So I'm very consistent.
We're striving for consistency, Carlos.
Oh, yeah. I am the model that always high. But how about you? Did you achieve that consistency?
Yeah, I was really a consistent player when I was younger. I never varied that great, but always right around a certain score, never, you know, within three or four shots pretty much every time out on an 18-hole round, yeah.
Excellent. Just like me, just like 20 shots after. But anyway, to wrap up the weekend backspin, we have the LPGA where South Korea's An Sung-yul displayed nerves of steel to capture her first LPGA title on Sunday by winning the $1.5 million Total Japan Classic in a three-way playoff in drizzly conditions there at the Kintetsu's Kasijoma Country Club in Mile Prefecture, Western Japan.
What was the name of that country club again?
Kintetsu Kachikojima.
Bless you.
Kintetsu Kachikojima Country Club in the Mie Prefecture there in Western Japan. She's a 28-year-old, and she keenly sank a 5-foot birdie putt on the first play of hole after finishing the 54-hole tournament tied at 16 under par, alongside with fellow Korean Lee Yi-hee and American Angela Stanford. Fred, overnight leader Jenny Shin, she carded a round of 70 to take fourth place and missed a playoff by a single shot. Thailand's Aria Yutangin, she finished fifth after shooting the round of the tournament and 8 under 64.
Yeah, we don't know much about Sung-yul Ahn, 28-year-old, but this was her first official LPGA Tour win. She has 7 wins on the Korean Tour and plays the LPGA of Japan full-time. She has 20 wins since 2010 on that tour, and this was her second win in Japan in 2015. She won 5 events last year in Japan, Carlos. If she decides to play on the LPGA Tour full-time, she could become a real force. She's a pretty good player. The LPGA Tour is headed to Mexico for the Lorena Ochoa Invitational, the last event before the season-ending CME Group Tour Championship in Naples, Florida, coming up. A I think you're going to talk about this later, so I'm going to talk about it right now. I'm going to skip over this. Got a question for you, Carlos.
Uh-huh.
Rolex rankings right now. Lydico, number one. Envy Park, number two. Stacey Lewis, three. Lexi Thompson, four. So Young Roo, number five. LPGA Tour Player of the Year, Lydico or Envy Park?
Ooh, big one. I would have to say Lydico. Lydico has to be the one.
Envy's had four wins, two majors, 13 top tens. She's number two in the world and number two in the race to the CMA Globe. She's won $2.3 million. You still want Lydia?
Yes, yes. I still think at the end of the year, Lydia is going to have is going to overtake her. And I think, the race to the CMA is going to run through her. The way she's playing lately, I mean, every tournament she's the favorite to win. So I'll take Lydia. We'll see what happens at the end. But
Envy
could
go around her this week. Lydia's taking the week off to prepare for the CME Group Championship next week. But just to make the point.
She's very wise.
Yeah,
she wants the big
exactly.
one. She wants the big one.
And say no, Lorraine Ochoa. That takes some,
some
wow.
Guts.
You know what? Yeah. Just to make a point, though, Lydia has five wins this year to Envy's four. She only has one major to Envy's two. But she has 16 top 10s to Envy's 13. And, of course, she's number one in the world and number one in the race to CME Globe with $400,000 more, $2.7 million. So Lydia is the clear favorite right now, but it's very close. If Envy should win the CME Group Championship and the million-dollar bonus, you'd almost have to name her the player of the year, even though Lydia's had such a great year.
Yeah, if that would happen, I would guess then that Envy Park would take it if she would go and win that one. But in the Rolex rankings, as you say, after Envy Park plays this week, she would have two more events played than Lydia. So all those points, at least, is in two less tournaments. But anyway, that will wrap up our weekend backspin. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. So don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. And Fred, I believe you're going to start right away with the tee shot. And it's something between Phil and Butch Harmon. What happened with them?
Yeah, Phil Mickelson began working with Butch Harmon in 2007 before the Players' Championship. And under his tutelage, he won 12 PGA Tour events and two international tournaments during that span. However, since Mickelson's victory in the 2013 Open Championship at Murrayfield, he has posted just five top tens. Plus, he required a pick from Captain Jay Haas to play in his last month's Presidents Cup. Mickelson flew to Las Vegas last week to deliver the news to Harmon face-to-face and that the split was amicable. Phil told Golf Channel's Tim Rosefort, "I respect him as a person and a teacher and as a friend. And just want to talk to him in person about it. It's not something you do over the phone. He's been good to me long before we ever started working together. That stuff is never easy, but it's what he deserves." Harmon had this to say, "I completely agree that sometimes you need to hear things a different way. Get a different perspective on things. He's been frustrated the last 2 years. I thought it was a good idea that he would do this. He needs to hear things differently that maybe get him rejuvenated and get him back to what we all know he can be." In spite of the success that Butch and Phil achieved, success over their 8 years together, Mickelson is still searching for that right combination to complete his career Grand Slam by winning the U.S. Open Championship. He has a record 6 runner-ups in the U.S. Open and will give it one more shot at Oakmont next June. He also announced the next day that he will begin to work with Andrew Getson, an instructor at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale, Arizona. Getson, 41 years old, is from Australia and is popular among fellow PGA Tour players at Greyhawk. One tour player at Greyhawk describes Getson as a great communicator and thinker whose teaching style focuses more on playing and feel than the overly technical. A handful of players also said they were not surprised by Mickelson's choice of Getson. He has worked with a number of Mickelson's friends, and the two men's personality mesh well. Mickelson's caddy, Jim McKay, also recently took lessons from Getson. Getson played 10 years on various tours around the world, including 8 starts on the web.com. In 2006, before turning to teaching, he came out of the same Victoria Institute as Jeff Ogilvy and Aaron Baddeley. On another note, Carlos, you know, we just got done talking about Bernhard Langer's amazing consistency earlier in the show. Here is a record that is in a class with the accomplishments of Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Ben Hogan, and Bobby Jones, four of the greats. Mickelson dropped to number 27 in the official world golf ranking this week. That places him out of the top 25 for the first time since September 1995. That's over 20 years, Carlos, over 1,000 weeks. He never reached the number one spot, but this shows his unmatched consistency during that 20 years on tour. He was able to maintain that high world ranking in spite of problems with arthritis and helping his wife and mother through bouts of cancer. Although he never captured the top spot, he's been second several times, including after his second Masters win in 2006. In the 14-year span from 1996 to 2010, he finished inside the top 10 every year except for 2003. The Tiger Slam, Jack's 18 majors, Ben Hogan's return after the car wreck, and Bobby Jones's Grand Slam are recognized as the best accomplishments in golf. Carlos, I've never been a huge Phil Mickelson fan, but this is an amazing record and puts him on par with those great golfers of all time.
And I have to applaud him for the way that he handled it. He said, you know, let's do this on the phone. I mean, personally and not on the phone. And he didn't went publicly blasting or anything, so I really applaud him. And Butch is definitely one of the great gurus of the golf swing. So, well, hopefully he can get another one now. And let's see, but great for Phil. Hopefully he can find his momentum back, because he's really, really going backwards there. But anyway, talking about another of the former Butch Harmon's prodigies, and that's Tiger Woods, his tournament, the Hero World Challenge, where he hosted this event since its inception in 1999. The field is set for the 17th annual rendition of it, which is going to move outside of the United States for the first time. It will be played at the luxury resort community of Albany in the Bahamas. It's going to be from December 2nd through the 6th. And one player that won't be on that field is the host, Tiger Woods. He will be unable to play in his annual tournament. He had back surgery on September 16 and a follow-up procedure performed 2 weeks ago. He's expected to attend, and he's attracted all of the major championship winners from this year to the event that benefits his foundation. Defending champion Jordan Spieth, who last year won by 10 shots a week after capturing the Australian Open and won the Masters and U.S. Open this year, along with Open champion Zach Jensen and PGA Championship winner Jason Day, were announced Wednesday as part of the 18-man field that will compete in the 72-hole Hero World Challenge. Spieth and Johnson, who won the 2013 tournament, are the only past winners in the field, which boosts 7 of the top 10 players in the world, including Bubba Watson, who's number 4, Ricky Fowler, number 5, Justin Rose, number 6, and Dustin Johnson, number 8. Others in this year's field will include Adam Scott, Matt Kuchar, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, Billy Horschel, and India's Anirban Lahiri, who's a Hero brand ambassador who received a sponsor's exemption. I would say right now, Matt Kuchar has to be the favorite to win. I mean, he's winning anywhere but in the States, and I that he's going to play also on the PGA Tour, the OHL Mayakoba in Mexico. He's got to be the favorite there too this week. So Matt Kuchar, the favorite everywhere outside the States. So he's had 2 wins in a row. But anyway, that's a side note to it. But Tiger Woods, other news regarding him, he may not be able to play golf, but the Blue Jack National, his first course as a designer to debut in the USA, opened for play on Thursday. Only 7 holes were unveiled when nearly 100 members took to the courts, but the full layout is expected to be ready by early 2016. Woods, who wasn't able to attend the opening because of his back, worked on the layout with the layout design, with former Tom Fazio associate Bo Welling. The official opening to the members was last Thursday, but there was a familiar face there who got to play a special Monday preview round. That player was former President George W. Bush, who played with his good friend and land developer Michael Abbott. Fred, according to Golf.com, Bush and Abbott played the seven-hole loop in 40 minutes.
That's the way it ought to be done, Carlos. Hey, I got a question for you. In the earlier part of that, you said that they're playing in Albany, New York this year with the Hero?
No, the Bahamas in Albany. Albany, the Bahamas.
That's you know what I think, Carl? I think we should apply for press credentials, for media credentials for down at Albany in December. That sounds good to me. That's supposed to be a pretty nice place over there.
Definitely. Let's do it.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Mike Kaiser, the golf course guru. He, along with Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw, have had a long and illustrious path. It seems that they will continue to do business together as Kaiser has chosen the dynamic duo of Coore and Crenshaw to build his new course in Scotland to be called Cool Links. The site for the new links is just 2 miles north of Dornoch, which sits on the eastern shore of Scotland, the northern end of the country, some 55 miles north of Inverness. Coore and Crenshaw have designed and built several courses for Kaiser in the past, including three premier properties in the U.S., Bandon Dunes, Cabot Links, and Sand Valley. They are trying not to ruffle feathers among the locals in Scotland, and their intention is to make the development as transparent as possible and work closely with the government bodies as well as local businesses. The site for the new course is over twice that of Royal Dornoch's championship course. The property runs parallel to the Dornoch Firth before meandering inland to the Loch Fleet. Kaiser explained that the site was certainly large enough for 36 holes. However, with the environmental constraints, that will most likely ensue a routing of a world-class 18-hole course. Going to be big enough. The initial plans do not allow for on-site lodging. No 100-bedroom hotel here. Golfers will be shuttled by bus between Royal Dornoch and the new Cool Links, with reservations made via Royal Dornoch Golf Club. With Kaiser once again teaming up with Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw, expect something magical in Scotland, Carlos.
My God. I know there's somebody that's going to be very, very happy about that, and that's Kieran Clark. He must be happy about that. But anyway, talking about the European Tour and there, just talk about this last week with the European Tour on-course announcer Jay Townsend, as well as our European Tour guru Kieran Clark, who brought up this issue 2 weeks ago in his Chip Shot section when he talked about the European Tour problems. You know, the European Tour is contemplating what amounts to a level playing field for those who want to be considered global players. Typically, being a member of the two largest tours in golf requires a top 50 world ranking. That effectively assures a player of getting into the four majors and four world golf championships, which would be more than half of the minimum starts required on the PGA Tour, which is 15, and on the European Tour, 13. That's a significant issue facing the European Tour chief executive, Keith Pelly. Pelly has spent the majority of his 3 months on the job talking to players of every level to figure out what works for them globally and what strengthens the European Tour. One solution under consideration is to lower the minimum requirement to 5, provided that doesn't include the majors and the WGCs. That would make the requirement the same for someone like Justin Rose, number 6 in the world, and Luke Donald. A former world number 1, Donald fell out of the top 50 in May. He played all four majors, but only because he qualified for the U.S. Open and British Open, but he was not eligible for 3 of the WGCs. The main incentive for keeping the European Tour membership right now is being eligible for the Ryder Cup. Not everybody's going to play it. But Ian Poulter thought he was about to lose his membership when he fell out of the top 50 and was no longer eligible for the HSBC Champions. He flew to Hong Kong and was helped immensely by Rich Beam giving up his spot in the Hong Kong Open. As it turned out, Poulter got into the HSBC Champions as an alternate. On his end, Pelly said it would be very important to increase prize money to make it worthwhile for Europeans to play a little more often. but he sees no harm in making it easier for Europeans to follow the money to America and the PGA Tour. He's being realistic there. A key quote from him, from Paley, he says, and I start a quote, they're no longer European Tour players or PGA Tour players. They are global players, end of quote. Fred, Jim Nugent will touch on this on the VIG, and you have been touching on this forever, but I ask you if this is the first steps of what could be a more serious talk about a global tour.
Yeah, I just see no way around it for the European Tour. They have to promote, they have to raise their prize money and become a global tour. They have to attract these bigger names, especially their European guys, to those tournaments to stay viable. There's just no other way. If they don't, they're going to fall by the wayside. Hey, Carlos, wrap up the Par 5 news here tonight. I got a story. Australian Gerard Lyle is trying to regain his PGA Tour card through a medical exemption granted by the tour. He will need to earn approximately, 200 and some thousand over the next few events to assure a spot on tour. Lyle began his infatuation with golf as a caddy for his father at the age of 6. He got sidetracked at the age of 17 when he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. He was confined to his bed for 9 months while undergoing chemotherapy treatments. Then it took another 12 months before he had enough energy to even walk a golf course. He did battle back, and his game was such that he was able to turn professional in 2004. He earned a 2007 PGA Tour card via the web.com, but finished 164th on tour and went back to the web.com the next year. He won twice in 2008 and finished the season number 4 on the web.com and headed back to the PGA Tour in 2009. Lyle received a setback in 2012 when the leukemia made a recurrence and prevented him from playing on tour for 29 months. He will need to earn, like I said, a little over $200,000 during this medical exemption. Lyle said, "I'm in a lot better spot than I was in 12 months ago. I feel a lot more confident. It's been a battle, but the golf game is definitely in better shape than it was. So it's nice to be able to sort of know you're hitting it well. I was putting it average earlier in the year, but it's starting to come around now. Through all of this, he fathered a child, has fought to stay alive for his family, and returned to golf. He missed a cut in his first start of the season at the Fries. He was in good position after opening round 71-68 in the Sanderson Farms this week, but 72-74 on the weekend or Monday dropped him to T68. This is a great story to watch, Carlos, and we want to wish Gerard Lyle all the success in the world going forward.
I second that, and I believe you have some words about our sponsors to close this section.
Yes, Carlos, that wraps up the Par 5 news for tonight. United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories are available with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, they offer every golfer the chance to earn commissions on products through their director's program. They have instant free access to Global Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. Another free perk is membership to My Golf in U.S., which offers discounted rounds of golf in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have our very important guest, VIG of the Week, Jim Nugent. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back 9 Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our VIG, very important guest of the week. His name is Jim Nugent. He's the Global Golf Global Gulf Coast founder and president and publisher. He's going to talk to us about his recent visit to China. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about this great interview that we have with Jim.
Yeah, you know, we were trying to get some feedback on China. There's been so much news out there lately about the Chinese government cracking down on golf and memberships and things like that. So I saw where he was going to be over there. I contacted him, and he was gracious enough to get a hold of me when he got back. Matter of fact, the next day after he got back, and we talked for a few minutes and taped this interview. So a lot of good information in it, Carlos.
We are really excited to have Jim Nugent, the publisher of Global Golf Post, talking with us today. And Jim just got back from a few days in China. He was over there attending a conference. I'll let him talk to you about that. But Jim, thanks for coming on the show again. And what took you to China?
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I was over there as a sponsor and participant in an event called the HSBC Business Forum. It was part of the week-long HSBC Festival of Golf that includes the World Golf Championship event that's taking place as we speak just outside Shanghai.
Yeah, the Chinese government has kind of been making some big news in golf lately, and, you know, we see it here in the States. I know manufacturers, TaylorMade, Adidas, all the people see China as a tremendous growth market for golf in the future. And here we have the Chinese government closing golf courses. They're making proclamations that party members can't become golf course members. Did you get any feel for that when you were over there? What's the scuttlebutt on that?
Well, I have a much clearer understanding of what's going on. First of all, there is a massive crackdown on government corruption. And unfortunately, some of the corruption is associated with golf, either taking place at private clubs where officials have been bribed or otherwise engaged to behave in a way that's against the law. But also just because there's a sense among government officials that golf is something that's for the very elite and gives a bad image. So you've got that going on the one hand. But on the other hand, you have a rising middle class that is sport crazy. And this is where the Olympics has the opportunity, and I emphasize opportunity or potential because it's not a sure thing, to make a real difference. They're talking about several thousand golf courses being opened in China over the next couple of decades. And that's a long-term play, to be sure. As far as the closings go, I have a clear understanding of that. A lot of the golf courses that have been opened over the last 10 years were shady deals that basically took land away from farmers. And so the government's coming back and saying, look, this golf course never should have been built. There were no permits. There was no environmental sensitivity. You got to give it back to the farmer, and you got to turn it back into farmland. So that situation, I think, has been vastly overplayed in the United States as well as around the world.
So those kind of situations are really no different than we would see here in the United States. They probably wouldn't be off the ground in the first place because they couldn't get the permits and those kind of things. In those cases, they just went ahead and built them without permission, thinking, oh, this will be okay, and then come back in and trying to correct the wrong.
No question about it. That's probably a healthy thing because there was no environmental impact studies being done, and who knows what that was doing to the ecosystem. But, you know, nonetheless, you have this great golf tournament taking place in China, in Shanghai, the World Golf Championship. You've got something like 40 of the 50 best players in the world playing in this tournament. So golf has a bright future in China. It's just a very, very long-term future. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow.
You touched on the fact that the middle class is expanding so rapidly. More and more Chinese citizens are earning an income, and they want to have an outlet. They want to spend money on sports. They want to play golf. They want to do a lot of things. So this really is a solid, tremendous potential going forward for the golf industry.
there's a little question about that. And, you know, there's an amateur tournament that's been created in Asia. It's now 5 or so years old. The Masters tournament was the impetus to get this done. They're trying to get, you know, elite amateurs to have a tournament to play in Asia. And their sole purpose, and they state this, is to create heroes. And right now what golf in China needs is heroes, both men and women who are competing at a high level to inspire youth to play the game. That certainly is the model that has taken place with, you know, Korean women going back to Siwee Park. You're now starting to see it, you know, it has been true in Japan. What China needs is heroes. They need young players that the youth can identify with, both men and women. And that's where the Olympics can and hopefully will make a difference.
Yeah, Shan Cheng Feng has been had great success in the LPGA. There's another couple young Chinese women that are beginning to show some promise also. Talk just real briefly, do you have any information on the PGA China Tour there? How is that doing? Is it getting off the ground? Is it showing some success?
By all accounts, it's making progress. It's giving, you know, young professionals a chance to hone their game. It is a very much a feeder tour for Web.com, which ultimately, hopefully, gets younger players onto the PGA Tour. It's very young. It's very, very new. It's got its growing pains, but it is starting to get some traction in that marketplace, and is probably serving a very good purpose in that regard.
One last point before I let you get on with your day. I know you're probably jet lagged, and you need to catch up on being gone for a few days. But you had mentioned also, and we reported Tuesday night on the show, that HSBC just renewed their commitment to golf through the WGC HSB Champions, to the European Tour, to the LPGA, to the Open Championship. And you see this as a really big thing for golf in general.
Yeah, it was really rather startling. Giles Morgan, the head of HSBC, earlier this summer had rattled some cages saying that maybe HSBC wasn't going to stay in golf. And then, lo and behold, on this stage, he has Tim Fincham, Keith Pelley from the European Tour, Martin Slumbers from the R&A, Mike Wan from the LPGA, and he renewed all of their agreements, most of which for 5 or more years. The total spend, we were trying to calculate it, some of us in the back of the room, there was $100 million worth of a sponsorship commitment on that stage the other day. So it's really quite a positive statement from HSBC about the game of golf worldwide.
Hey, Jim, I got just a couple of minutes here. I know a topic that one of my pet topics I kind of keep a watch on is many years ago, Greg Norman talked about a World Golf Tour. The WGC was created kind of to assuage that a little bit. Tim Fincham was totally against it at the time. But golf is more worldwide now, although PGA Tour players don't really travel outside the U.S. much, except maybe to go for an appearance fee here and there or play in an international team event once in a while. The European Tour kind of struggling to get purses, get sponsors. Do you see more of a world tour, maybe another tour developing, or the PGA Tour finally getting off the stance of just protecting the U.S. and opening up more and playing more tournaments outside the U.S. down the road?
You know, you can't get away from the fact that the American PGA Tour plays the best golf courses, has the best conditions, has the most money, thanks to television. But I think what you're going to see in the years ahead under the leadership of the new director of the European Tour, Keith Pelley, is a tour that begins to rival the PGA Tour around the world. I think the European Tour really is going to become the global tour as they expand into Asia, as well as Australia, added to their current coverage of the Middle East and South Africa and the European continent. So I think the European Tour will be more global in nature, and its players will travel the world. But the best players in the world are still going to prefer the American PGA Tour. You just can't get away from the climate and the money.
We have been talking to Jim Nugent, the publisher of Global Golf Post. You can have Global Golf Post delivered every Monday morning to your email inbox. It is the best read in golf. Right now, it's the first thing I look at every morning, every Monday morning. Jim, thanks so much for taking time coming and talking to us. I know you got to be a little tired from all the travel.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
It's always great to have Jim talking about golf. He's so knowledgeable, and he talks about so many different subjects. And, hey, I think you're going to get it sometime. You know, we have a saying in my native Puerto Rico. It says, when the river sounds, it's because water is coming, so you better start running. And I think that the Global Golf Tour is a thing of the near future. I think 2 years, 3 years is going to be something that is going to be talked about for it.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it's that soon, but I would say sometime in the next 5 to 10 years, it's just going to become more and more. It's just going to evolve. You know, he mentioned the Olympics. You know, maybe this will be one good thing out of the Olympics. You know, I'm not a big fan of that, but maybe global golf growth and more of a world tour. Maybe that will evolve from the Olympics. Maybe.
Yeah, one of the good things of the Olympics is that you get your players. Especially outside of the States, especially, they like to represent their country a lot. And I'm not saying that the Americans don't. It's just that there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency to play for your country, and that always develops sports everywhere. So we'll see how about that. But anyway, now we're on turn for a new section, the Ship Shot. This week we have Mike May, who will be talking about, you know, the Farmlinks Golf Club at Purcell Farms in western Alabama, and you don't want to miss this. You know, he's a golf travel writer from South Florida. So let's play this, and then Fred will talk a little bit about his chip shot.
I want to take this opportunity today to give you a verbal and somewhat of a visual look at, I think, one of America's most dynamic stay-and-play golf destinations around. It's called Farmlinks at Purcell Farms in Sylacauga, Alabama. We're in Sylacauga, 45 minutes southeast of Birmingham, 80 miles north of Montgomery, and 140 miles west of Atlanta. Farmlinks is easily accessible from many large population centers in the southeast. While it's a golf destination, golf is not the only thing going on at Farmlinks. It was actually originally designed as a living laboratory to test and showcase the effectiveness of a fertilizer called Polyon. Since then, the Farmlinks at Purcell Farms has evolved into one of the greatest golfing destinations in the southeast, maybe the entire country. As the brochure says, Farmlinks at Purcell Farms is where high-tech meets low-key. It's true. To say this property is a relaxing place to visit is an understatement. As I mentioned earlier, golf is not the only thing going on at Farmlinks. If you like to fish for largemouth bass or shoot for clay pigeons or take long walks along scenic trails or hunt quail or dove, head towards Farmlinks. But, of course, golf is the focal point of this great stay-and-play destination. I've been there twice, and I tell you, it gives you that home sweet home feeling for the moment you arrive, and frankly, you never want to leave Farmlinks. The golf experience at Farmlinks is nothing short of special. It's a sentiment shared by others, such as Golf Week. It's named Farmlinks as the number one all-access golf course in Alabama in 2011, 13, 14, and 2015 this year. Golf Digest ranks Farmlinks as number 39 on its top 75 best golf resorts in America. The kudos go on and on and on. But let's get to the golf course. Five sets of tees. They're named Longhorn, Copperhead, Whitetail, Bobcat, and Quail, so that's got to get you interested. Every hole at Farmlinks has a name. They've been pretty creative. Starts with the farm, ends with the orchards, and in between you've got holes like Hangtime and Bootlegger, Big Daddy, Go For It in the Swamp, as well as Big Gulp. Two of the most amazing holes at Farmlinks are probably number 5 and number 17. Number 5 is the signature hole. It is called Hangtime. The reason why is because if you hit from the Longhorn tees, which are the back tees, the card says it's 210 yards, but it's a downhill look. It actually is a drop of about 170 feet. You see Sulphur Mountain in the background. It is one of the most spectacular panoramic perspectives in the entire Southeast. If you hit one shot at Farm Links, you want it to be number 5. Number 17 is also a par 3. It's over Pennywinkle Lake. You've got Parker Lodge in the background. You're better off being long and not short because you can't save par from the bottom of Pennywinkle Lake. As far as where you stay at Farm Links, there are cottages. There are cabins. You can stay at Parker Lodge. Everything is high-tech, yet cozy and comfortable. It is simply a marvelous place to stay. The food is second to none. The southern hospitality and the on the course and in the dining room and in the pro shop makes you feel as if this is the place for you always to play golf. I'm now about 4 minutes into my description. It's time for me to wrap it up. But I would check out, again, Farm Links and Purcell Farms. The phone number is 877-292-FARM-3276. The director of marketing is Tim Spanger. And if you run into Tim, tell him that Mike May sent you along to Farm Links, and he'll treat you like your new best friend. Check it out. It is the place in the Southeast for stay-and-play golf destinations. We'll see you on the first tee. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mike. I have the phone number right here. I'm going to tell him that you said you sent us. I mean, if you didn't like this place after what he described, I don't know how you're going to like it, Fred. I mean, I just want to go there right now.
Yeah, I've not been able to get there yet. Maybe we can get there sometime in the near future. I also want to mention, he failed to mention the website. It's www.purcellfarms.com, purcellfarms.com. If anybody wants to go to the website, check it out, contact them, reserve a stay there.
We're going to take our last short break. When we come back, we have the practice range, and you want to know what we're going to talk about is relax rules of golf. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at @edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for practice range. Every week, Fred and I pick a topic, and we take our shots at it. That's why we call it the practice range. Fred, you picked this week Golf Channel's new relaxed rules of golf. You know, let's put this into perspective. Charlie Reimer and a very good friend of our show, Matt Ginella, are the leading voices of the relaxed rules series, which Golf Channel launched in 2014, that boils down to just 7 common sense rules. It has to be stressed out that this is just an initiative not for competitive golf, but rather for when it's a match among friends, you know, relaxed rules that can make the game easier, faster, and more fun. But in a way, you can sense that there's something somewhat of a subliminal message that some of them could catch the eye of the pro someday, and they start saying, hey, I want that too here, so let's see how we do it. But let's see. Here are the 7 rules. Number 1 is maximum score. That's double par, I mean, 6 on par 3s, 8 on par 4s, 10 on par 5s. Number 2 is penalties. All are one strokes, including out of bounds, water and lateral hazards, lost ball, and unplayable lie. You know, you just drop a ball in the air where the original was lost and just lay on. Go ahead. Number 3 is search time. 2 minutes to look for your ball. If lost, you know, proceed to rule number 2. Easy, just 2 minutes. Don't do it anymore. Number 4, unfortunate lies. Oh, my God, I know about this one so much. With your playing partner's consent, balls may be dropped out of divots or footprints away from 3 routes. I know a lot of those 3 routes. Oh, so many. And any other dangerous lies. Number 5, conceded putts. Putts may be conceded when your partner's player's consent. Number 6, equipment. There's no restrictions, including the number of clubs. And number 7, common sense. When in doubt, use sense and fairness. These are the relaxed rules that are being supported by Golf Channel on air, online, and through social media. And Fred, after seeing all the seven relaxed rules, I would just use all of them. But the reality is, let's say about the equipment, I would say that, you know, that would be one good thing for the manufacturers, because if you can get any number of clubs that you want, I just can see everybody making a club for anything, and people with 21 clubs in the bag and all that stuff. So that would be good for them. But certainly something that it's appealing for the, like they're saying, the guys that play at the clubs that want to get a little bit more fun out of it. I think that it would get more interest on the masses if you can see and play the rules of golf like this. But what do you think? Is it would be something that it would attract some of them to be done at the pro level?
No, not the pro level. But the weekend hacker is not playing for $1 million. There are more than the low 70 golfers and ties trying to cram in an 18-hole round of golf before the wife misses them too much and starts pitching a fit. These rules are meant to make the game more fun and enjoyable for the average golfer, plus keep play moving. 6-hour rounds are just not acceptable and are one of the main reasons people turn away from the game. The max score thing, and in reality, Carlos, I've been using these rules on my own for a long time, you know, and I tell the guys I'm playing with, we're not playing for $1 million here. We're here to have a good time. Let's just keep it moving. Let's play. Max score, I even make this a double bogey. Once I'm at double bogey, I'm picking up. I'm moving on. Be mindful of your playing companions and the guys behind you. If you're hacking it too many times, just pick it up. Put down a double par and move on. If you hit it out of bounds or lose a ball, don't track back to the tee to have a chat with the foursome behind you. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be happy to see you. Just take a couple clubs of relief, take your drop, and hit it away. 5 minutes can be a lifetime when the foursome is waiting on the tee box while you're tramping around in the weeds trying to find your wayward golf ball. Take your medicine. Drop one. Move on. Daylight's burning fast. Don't take time figuring out how to hit out of a divot or with sod that should be marked ground under repair. Roll it and hit it. Move on. Concede a putt once in a while. Don't be a tight-jawed pain in the butt. Maybe your playing companion may just give you one back. Putting every putt can take a lot of time on the golf course. Ever hear the phrase, good, good, let's go? Equipment restrictions? Want to use that anchored putter, belly putter? Go right ahead. Whatever makes you happy. Want to use that range finder? Let's whip that baby out. Let's move. Use common sense. Now, this is one I'm pretty sure most golfers cannot understand. If they had any common sense, Carlos, whatsoever, they wouldn't be playing this silly game anyway. These few rules are meant to make the game a little quicker and enjoy the game just a little more for the average golfer. Isn't that what we're all trying to do, Carlos?
It is, and I hope that it can be like some official thing about this. I'm just going to be starting to tweet about this. You know, you have to feature the hashtag golf is fun that Golf Channel is using, and you can go to golfchannels.com, golf is fun page, everything about it, the relaxed rules of golf. Hey, we have our final section, and that is the final putts. And I'm going to start right away. I'm going to talk about, you know, according to the Golf Channel, Asahara Munoz and Beatriz Ericari, they both got stranded in Bali after a volcano erupted on a nearby island, resulting in the closure of several airports there in Indonesia, including the one these LPGA pros had planned to leave from on Tuesday night. Munoz and Ericari were in Bali with fellow golfers Jessica Korda and Soyeon Ryu for a Lexus Cup corporate event. Korda and Ryu were scheduled to return home, while Munoz and Ericari were supposed to be en route to Tokyo for the Tokyo Japan Classic, but with the flight delays, they were not going to make any time, so they missed it. And finally, you know, Glen Eagles is going to host the Solheim Cup in 2019. The PGA Centenary Course hosted the Ryder Cup in 2014, and now the women's teams will face the same test. Scotland has played host to the Solheim Cup twice before at Dunmanholy Country Club in 1992 and Loch Lomond in 2000. This 2017 event will take place at Des Moines, Iowa, and Glen Eagles beat Brohoff Slott in Sweden to earn the right to host the event. And not only the Scottish First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, is delighted to see the event coming to Scotland. We know for sure our friend and European lawyer, Kieran Clark Fred, he has to be ecstatic about this.
Oh, that's right in his backyard. Hey, Carlos, the Squeeze television premiere was tonight on Golf Channel, 8 p.m. Started already. If you missed it, I'm sure they're going to play it again. You're going to want to watch that. If you can't see it on Golf Channel, you can get it on Amazon or Netflix. Did you see Rory gave away a driver on Facebook to a fan? A fan asked him if he'd just send him an old driver, and Rory replied back, sure, and he actually sent him one. Adam Scott committed to play in the Aussie Masters, and Lee Westwood has committed to play in Thailand. So the big guys are moving around the world to pick up those appearance fees, Carlos.
Well, Back Niners, that wraps up another week of the Backman Report presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us for the past hour. Special thanks to our VHG, very important guest of the week, Jim Nugent, and this week's Chip Shot contributor, Mike May. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and also through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show on Twitter. Our ID is at @BackManReport. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. So happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.